All right. Well, welcome everyone in wherever you're watching. Once again, we're so thankful that you are hanging out with us as we wrap up our series today called I'm In. Now, what we've been walking through in this series is who we are at the Vine, who we serve, where He is leading us today, and where He is calling us in the future. And so we say it here at the Vine Church all the time, and I hope that you know this, and if you don't, you'll learn it before long. You're only a guest once. After that, you're family. So if you've been here more than once, welcome to the crazy family, because we're going to have fun, we're going to laugh, we're going to have a good time. So family gets to know each other better. So one of the things that I love that we get to do in knowing each other better each and every week is I always like to have a question. So instead of you just learning a lot about me, I hope that you learn a lot about Jesus more than anything. But I would love to get to know you a little bit better today. And that being the case, as we get to know each other better, here's the question I have. All right, here we go. What was your favorite growth spurt in life? Because we all grow in spurts. What was your favorite growth spurt? Now, this could be physical, this could be emotional, this could be financial, this could be relational, this could be spiritual. What was your favorite growth spurt? Maybe it was a sport you never thought you could play. Maybe it was your first home run, or maybe it was your first touchdown, or the first goal you scored, or learning an instrument that you never thought that you could learn, or maybe it was getting married. Maybe it was having children. Maybe it was buying or selling a house. I mean, I know a guy, but buying or selling a house, whatever that is, wherever you are, what was your favorite growth spurt? And so for me, I'll be honest with you, my favorite growth spurt is when I finally surrendered to the call of ministry. Like Jesus told me as a teenager to do it, ran from it. I can share you all the details of that like crazy later. If you know me and you don't know me, hey, pull me aside. I can share it with you. I can tell you that surrender wasn't easy. It wasn't something that came right away. It took time, but also even when I stepped into it, it was a roller coaster ride. And it was a growth in faith. And that is my favorite growth spurt because it's led me to where I get to be right here, right now. But the thing is, I know it's just getting started. So if you commented online, if you told your neighbor your favorite growth spurt, if you didn't and you're married, I just want to go ahead and give you some good marriage advice. Look at your spouse and say, you're my favorite growth spurt. Because they've grown you, and it's good. Maybe that's wrong, I don't know. Maybe that sounds bad. That sounds like a growth, that sounds bad. No, but growth spurt, you grew in love together. Let's make sure we do that so that we have happy lunches and dinners today, wherever we are. So really quickly, I wanna catch folks up. Not gonna take too much, but I wanna review for folks, because I know many times it's someone's first time hanging out with us, and we're so thankful that you're here if it is your first time. Once again, when you come back next week, you're only a visitor now. After that, you're family. So let's have some fun with it. So I just want to catch everyone up as we've walked through this series, who we are at the Vine. So we've been walking through our Vine code, and that is our core values, and it's what we believe here at the Vine. And so number one thing we believe at the Vine is that Jesus is the center. He's the center of everything we do. We will always preach of Him, Him crucified. We know that none of us have done anything to earn this. None of us are worthy of this. We haven't passed a program. We haven't checked boxes to do this. None of us are worthy to get to be here. It is only because of Him, Him crucified, risen again. He is our Savior. He is the one we follow. He is the one that we will always follow. And if Jesus didn't call us to it here at the Vine, we're not going to do it, no matter how good the idea is. And so for us today, as we're walking through that, I want you to know that Jesus is the center of everything we do here at the Vine. After that, we talked about living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ, and how all of us have a next step today. Guess what? Today, all of us have a next step to take. We talked and walked through there so many times, we can get stuck in the next steps that we want to take because we think the small ones don't matter, but that's always what happens. When we give our life to Christ, receive Him as our Lord and Savior, and He is the Lord of our life, and we put Him at the center of everything we do, then all of a sudden we have next steps. And we talked about here at the Vine Church, there are next steps we want everyone to take. And we want everyone to take the next step to get to know God more. We want everyone to get to take a next step to find freedom from their past shame and guilt. We want everyone to take a next step to know why they're here, their purpose, know that they're called to do something. And we're gonna talk more about that today. And we also want everyone to take a next step to know that they can make a difference. Then we talked about how we honor and we believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We talked about serving. If you're ever having a bad day, go serve somebody, and I promise you it'll change. It'll change your day. It'll change your perspective. And we believe in honoring one another to glorify God. And the reason that is, as we said that, hey, generosity is the fuel that propels the gospel to the ends of the earth, but serving is the delivery system. So here at the Vine Church, we believe in serving. We believe in playing our part in the body, and we believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We also believe that life change happens best in Christian community. We've walked through this. We've talked about how each and every one of us in Christian community can have those growth spurts, but also there's freedom in Christian community. There's freedom. We find forgiveness for our sins and confession to the Lord and repenting from our sins, but we find healing on this side of eternity when we confess to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so life change happens best in Christian community. And we said how easy that next step is. Maybe that's the next step you're willing to take today, where we have greenhouses all over the place outside of just Thursday night. And in that, what will happen is all you got to do is have an open door, an open table, a consistent time, and you can press play. So I'm pretty sure most of us can do that. So if you would like to do that, please let us know. We can help you with that. Last week, we got to celebrate God's faithfulness, and we talk about what we believe. And we believe here at the Vine Church, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God with your time, your talent, your treasure. Generosity is the fuel that propels the gospel to the ends of the earth. Serving is the delivery system. So we talked about here at the Vine Church how we live out generosity. And we do that by loving God and loving others, but we got to celebrate all that God's let us be a part of, but we talked about how it's just the beginning. So let's wrap up our series today and cover the last next step in our Vine Code, but certainly not the last next step that any of us will take. And before we get there, I just want to tell you, we're going to be surprise, surprise in the Gospel of John today. So if you've got your Bible, as we cover that next step, let's get to John chapter 1. Then we'll land in Romans 10 when it's all said and done. But John chapter 1, we're going to walk through today. If you don't have a Bible, I love that our Vine production team is incredible. They're going to make sure that this is on the screen for you wherever you're watching. But also today, maybe you like to do things on your phone. So if you're on a phone right now, I want to tell you we have the privilege of partnering with the Bible app each and every week. And I want to show you how you can follow along with us today. So you want to download the Bible app from your favorite app store. Once you do that, you want to open it up. Now, once you open it up, you want to click on the More tab. Now, when you do that, make sure your location services are on. Don't worry, we're not going to come knocking on your door or anything. It's just trying to show you the local churches near you. When you do that, click the Vine TV Worship Experience. You're going to see the title of today's message, which is this: We Are God's Plan for Growing His Church. And it's going to show you where we walk through the scripture we walk through, a place for you to take notes, also a place for you to connect with us throughout the week. So, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it to John 1, and I already told you the answer. You already passed the test. So here we go. What we believe at the Vine Church is this: we are God's plan for growing His church. We are God's plan for growing His church. There is no other backup plan. There isn't anything else. I've shared this before, but I often think about this. If I was God and I wanted to get my name to the ends of the earth, I would probably use something other than humans. Ants would be what I would use. That's just me. I don't know. But have you ever seen an ant? Whether the flood comes, the fire comes, no matter what, you ever tried to kill an anthill? What happens? There's another one that pops up right beside it. Those things just keep going and they don't quit. And they always multiply, don't they? They are not afraid to go and keep building. And so if I was God, that's probably what I would choose. But for some reason, He chose us by His grace, and He is allowing us to get to do this. So we know there is no plan B. We are God's plan for growing His church. We are plan A. So if you've got your Bible, I want to show you why we believe that here in John chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 35, and then we're going to go through something we've walked through before, but this is going to be awesome, I know, because it's going to help each and every one of us take our next step today. So if you've got your Bible, John 1 verse 35 says this: The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. Now, this is John the Baptist, JTB. If you know, you know. JTB was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed with Jesus turning around. Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" I love how Jesus throws those opportunities out in front of there. He just went straight for it with grace and truth. He said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Come he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 PM. This is crazy awesome how John got real detailed. That's usually what Luke does in his gospel, but John got real. He said it was about 4 PM. And so after that, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did, look at this, was to find his brother Simon and tell him. It wasn't the second thing. It wasn't after the chores got done. It wasn't after supper. It wasn't after he cleaned in the kitchen. The first thing he did was to go find his brother Simon. We have found the Messiah, that is Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated to Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, and pay attention because you've seen this all the way through, but this is what Philip says. Come and see, said Philip. So for each and every one of us, I want us to see we are God's plan for growing his church. Each and every one of the disciples, all the way through, each and every one of the disciples, give me just 1 second, y'all, as I'm yelling loudly. Here we go. Now let's try this. Is that a little better? Awesome. So thank you guys for hanging in there with me. Someone helped me find a mic. How great was that? So all the way through, we can see the disciples found someone. They didn't stop with them. When they had an encounter with Jesus, it wasn't something they hoarded. They didn't take his hope for the world and keep it to themselves. They said, come and see. Come and see. And Christians, that's the life we're called to live, is a life lived of come and see. Come and see. When somebody says, hey, I can't find hope in this world. Hey, let me show you where hope is. Come and see. His name's Jesus. Hey, I'm struggling right now financially. I can't see a way out of this. Come and see. Let me show you Jesus. Let me show you what he can do with you. Hey, I'm struggling in my relationship. I don't know how I can make it through this. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Let me show you what he can do in you. And so for each and every one of us, we've got to live a life that goes out and finds and lives out. Come and see. Now, you say that's one example, that's awesome, but we all know this. If you've grown up in church, you've heard this. But the reason we know we are God's plan for growing his church is Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. We all pretty much know it by heart, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are supposed to go and make disciples. That's how we are God's plan for growing his church. Not sitting on the sidelines, not hoarding the hope of the gospel to ourselves, but sharing it every day by loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And who is our neighbor? Everyone. Everyone. Everyone is our neighbor. So today, I want to tell you, this is one of those things where we've walked through this before, and I want to share with you, if you wonder if God can use you, if you wonder if, man, how can he take little me and do anything, when you leave here today, I want you to go out and look at the horizon and see how far the east is from the west. If he has forgiven our sins that much, how much more could he do through us if we just walk in faithful obedience with every opportunity he lays in front of us? He's forgiven our sins from as far as the east is from the west. Imagine what he can do with us with just one step. One small step. And so if you think he can't use you to build his kingdom, when you go outside today and you see that horizon, be reminded, he can work through all of us. But the thing is, we have to step in to the opportunity. And so here at the Vine Church, I want to tell you how we do this, how we believe we are God's plan for growing his church. And you're probably expecting me to throw a number out there, aren't you? I'm not. It's not about a number. It's never been about a number. It's not going to be about a number. It's all about Jesus, 100%, and each and every one of us. But I do want to tell you here at the Vine Church, we do want to grow each other. And how we're going to grow is through intentional relational discipleship. And what I mean by that is Jesus didn't grab people to come follow him for a milestone. He went and got the disciples, and he gathered them together, and he let them know that they were called, and then he sent them and unleashed them into the world to go share him with everyone searching for him. And that's what we're called to do. And so today, what I want to walk through is something we've walked through today. This is going to be one of those messages, honestly. I believe in this, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you with the next step, and you're probably going to stop right there. And that's okay. So bookmark this, save this, go back and watch this later, because once that next step hits you, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will convict you of it, and that's okay, because here's the thing. I care more about what you're hearing from the Holy Spirit than you'll ever hear from me. And so today, this is going to be one of those things where we're going to see the next steps in our discipleship, relational, growth spurt journey that each and every one of us will take. So you're going to see a graph on the screen here in just a second. And when that comes up, that is our spiritual journey. And when that comes up there, I just want to tell you, this is what intentional relational discipleship looks like, because we understand that it's God's role to transform us from the inside out. And when we do that, and we've given our life to Christ, and we've surrendered our life to Christ, then we are a disciple. We are a follower of Jesus because we listen to him and do what he says. But it doesn't stop there. We're called to also be disciple makers who encourage, coach, walk through seasons with other disciples wherever they are. And so at the end, we're going to have the same starting point. And some of us, ideally, I would love to see all of us be able to say at some point that we are at the end as a spiritual parent somewhere in our spiritual journey. So we're going to throw this graph on the screen here. And I want to tell you all the way through, as we're walking through this, this is linear. Our walk with Christ is usually never linear. You know how I know? Look at when Israel left Egypt. Did they walk in a straight line? No, they walked in circles for 40 years. And so many times we give them a bad rap, but when I look back at my spiritual walk with Christ, it's been in journeying. It's been wandering in the desert and in the wasteland at times, but he always made a way through the wasteland, all the way through. And so for each and every one of us, I want to let you know there are going to be times where you progress and regress. You're going to have progress and regress as you go on this journey, but it's God using each and every one of those seasons. So let's walk through what our spiritual journey looks like today. So number one, as you go up there, the first thing that we all start out at the starting block is this: spiritually dead. We all start spiritually dead. 100%. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. We are born into sin. We are born at odds with God, with the very creator of the universe, but he loved us enough by his grace and by his mercy, and he loved us enough that he made a way for us to come to him through Christ Jesus. None of us had to earn it. None of us deserve it. None of us are worthy of it. All we have to do is receive this free gift of salvation that Christ died to give us. He came and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, lived the perfect sinless life that none of us could ever live. And then he rose again so that we could be exactly who he created us to be now. We don't have to wait. And so all of us start spiritually dead. I love, it's not going to be on the screen here. If you ever want to read Paul's letter to the Ephesians church, in Ephesians, he talks about us, how we were dead in our sin and how we followed the ways of our flesh and the ways of this world. And so all of us are born spiritually dead. Maybe that's a tough pill to swallow. And the reason I would say that is those of us who were in Christ realize that we chase the things of this world. We chase career, success, job, whatever it seemed like that we thought would make a difference in this life. And we realize that nothing could ever make the difference. Nothing could ever satisfy the way that Jesus could. And so we've surrendered our life to him. We've made him Lord of our life. We've confessed of our sin. We've repented of our sin, and we've turned from it, and we make Jesus the Lord of our life. So all of us start spiritually dead. Here's some key phrases of someone so you know as you're walking out who is spiritually dead, okay? So if you hear this today, that's going to be the Spirit hitting you saying, okay, this is where I am in my spiritual journey. I don't believe there is a God. Someone who is spiritually dead will say Christianity is a crutch for the weak. Someone who's spiritually dead many times will say something along the lines of, how in the world could I trust the Bible, because it was written so long ago and there's no way that it has anything to do with today. It was written by a bunch of dudes back in the day that don't know what they're talking about. Hey, we just walked through James on Thursday night, and it is so relevant for today. If you ever watch, he talks about washing your hands, about going through things. I mean, seriously, read it. You'll be shocked. It's always relevant. But someone who's spiritually dead doesn't believe that. One of the biggest claims to fame for someone who is spiritually dead is this: Christians are so hypocritical, they're intolerant, they're hateful people, and there's no way that I would want to be a part of any of that. And that breaks my heart. Because the Christians they've encountered are not real Christians. I hate to say it, but they aren't. If their heart is full of hate, they don't know Jesus. And so many times what I want to tell you is there are some that have believed their whole life that they're Christians and they're dead. They're spiritually dead. The reason that I know it is they don't have any fruit in their life. We talk about at the vine, we're called the vine, John 15:5. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you are in Christ, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And so today, if you hear those key phrases, those are the people that we are called to say, come and see who this Jesus is. Come and consider Jesus. And we are called to go find them. And so today, for each and every one of us, I want you to know if you are on this journey and right now you're realizing that you're spiritually dead, your next step is salvation. Your next step is salvation. Now, we're going to talk more about it at the end, but I just want to tell you, I literally cannot say it more clearly. All of us are sinners born dead. Dead, spiritually dead, eternally dead, because we don't have Jesus in our life. And all of us have to understand we can't serve at the soup kitchen enough. We can't give enough to the church. We can't clean ourselves up enough. We can't get into any program. We can't read our Bible enough. We can't pray enough to get ourselves into heaven, to get ourselves into a full life that Jesus died to give us. The only way that we can be saved is through receiving the free gift of salvation that only Jesus can bring. Nothing else in this world can save you. I hate to say it, but I'll put it out there. A vaccine's not going to save you. A dollar amount in the bank's not going to save you. A street address, it's not going to save you. A gate in your front yard is not going to save you. Only Christ Jesus can save you. And because of that, I want you to know today, you can take that next step 100%. And it's literally this. It's knowing that Jesus is who he says. It's confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that he died and God raised him from the dead on the third day. And it's receiving this salvation. You don't have to clean yourself up to get there. You don't have to work your way to get there. You don't have to memorize certain verses to get there. You just got to receive it. And sometimes the hardest step is surrendering. And so today, if that's you, I want to tell you, you can surrender your life to Jesus right now. All you got to do is you got to just bow your head and you just have to say, Jesus, I give my life to you. I believe you're Lord of my life. And I know that I'm a sinner separated from you, but you came and lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I can have life and live it to the full. Maybe that's not hitting you right now. We're going to come back to that just a little bit later. But if you're spiritually dead today, I would ask you to consider Jesus. Because I would look at 2020 and say, how's this world going for you? Because relying on everything in this world seems to be burning and crumbling, doesn't it? Relying on your health, the idol of health, can't do it. Relying on the idol of economy, can't do it. Relying on the idol of a building, an idol of a building, can't do it. Is in an ash heap. Relying on no hurricanes. We just had two try to wallop at one time, it seems, in the Midwest here. Relying on no earthquakes. It seems we have an earthquake all of the time. Relying on something that looked like snow, but it was hail in China. Like, what in the world is going on? Like, the world will always let you down, but Jesus never will. But for many of us, we've made that step. And the thing is, after we make that step, we may have questions, we don't know what's going on, and we find ourselves in the next step in our spiritual journey, and it's this, a spiritual infant. A spiritual infant. Now, some of us today would even have this. When I say infant, like, I say this, but I say it with all grace and truth. How many of us would feed our infant steak? Probably wouldn't work. They can't gum it to death like our great uncle could, right? Like, you know, that uncle that took their dentures out and could tear up a T-bone with no teeth. Like, babies can't do that, right? Babies can't do that. And so what we have to have is we have spiritual infants. When we go from being spiritually dead and lost to giving our life to Jesus and trusting him as our Lord and Savior, all of a sudden we're a spiritual infant. Now here's some key phrases of a spiritual infant so that way you can see, hey, maybe you're here or maybe you hear this so you can come alongside of them. One of the biggest ones, and I even find myself in spiritual infancy when it comes to knowing everything about the Bible, so this even hits me too. Man, I had no idea the Bible said that. Maybe it'll be, I was diving into my Bible the other day and I just don't understand what Paul is talking about with circumcision of the heart. Like, what does that mean? A spiritual infant, they just lack understanding. Maybe they say, man, like many times a spiritual infant, even in this day and age, will say things like, there's no way that I want to be a part of a church because Jesus never commanded me to do it. So why in the world would I serve? Doesn't mean they aren't searching. Doesn't mean they don't know. As a matter of fact, a spiritual infant many times will be diving into the Word of God. They just lack the understanding and lack the right questions to ask. They just don't know what to ask. As a matter of fact, they'll even say things like this. Hey, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but it seems like Buddha had a path to enlightenment. It seems that Muhammad has a way to be on God, on Allah's good side, as they say, or on God's good side. And it seemed that they always have a next step, but I just don't know what mine is. How do I find that? So a spiritual infant, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. As a spiritual infant, as we go there, would you leave an infant by itself on the side of the road? Yet I will tell you, I'm as guilty as all. As a church, we will leave spiritual infants out on the side of the road with no way to make it to their next step and no way to walk through their next step. So for each and every one of us, a spiritual infant needs a spiritual parent in their life. We always want parents in our life with infants, right? Like there has to be a guardian there helping feed them, love them, shelter them, help them nurture to know who God is. And they're doing it with joy and love, not condemnation. Like, imagine if all of a sudden a child is gassy and you just yell at it for having gas. Or you just yell at a child because they had to have their diaper changed. Like, seriously, come on. Like, that's what children do. They mess their diapers up, right? So why in the world do we so many times get mad at spiritual infants when they mess up? We like to beat them up sometimes because they're easy targets. So maybe today you know a spiritual infant in your life, and I want to tell you many times you can be a Christian for 30 years and still be a spiritual infant. The thing that changes you from an infant forward is being willing to take a next step. Because the thing is, you know, if you have children, babies don't keep. And once that first step happens, holy cannoli, it's off to the races, ain't it? Once they start walking, it's off to the races. There ain't a baby gate in the world that can stop it. Like, no matter what you do, there ain't a crib they can't crawl out of. There ain't nothing that'll stop them from getting out and going. But the thing is, we are called to come alongside spiritual infants to help them with their next step. So I want you to think about this. Who in your life was a spiritual parent? Who came alongside you in the church? And if you don't have one, it breaks my heart. Because I want you to know here at the Vine, we want to come alongside of you. We want to have spiritual parents with you. But if there is someone that came to mind, I want to talk to you and say, hey, shoot them a text message today. Hey, even I want to throw another opportunity out there to you. In the back where we have our physically distanced coffee, in the back with our Keurig to make sure that it's safe, there are some cards, some Vine Church cards. If you know that person's address, take that card home, write them a letter. If you'll bring it back here, we'll stamp it and send it for you. Whoever that spiritual parent is. Because you know what? That spiritual parent, I've reached out to those who were mine, and it's so crazy because they saw something in you long before you did. And so many times they can be at a season in their life where they're down and out, and all of a sudden you give them that letter or that text message. Man, I'm telling you, I've got those before and just tears. Like, I don't care. I'll ugly cry at a red light when I get that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So if you know a spiritual infant in your life, or if you're a spiritual parent, let's look for spiritual infants in our life. To get through the next stage of this, to become a spiritual young adult, we have to develop habits that grow into the life pattern of Christ. We have to have new habits. So a spiritual child is growing in Christ, but like all children, they're still just a little bit self-centered. Just a little bit self-centered. Now I know you say, my child's not self-centered, and I want to tell you, let me tell you something. One word you don't have to teach a child is this. Mine! Right? That word, I heard parents cringe right when it happened. My first word was no, and I had a shirt that said no. And many times that's still my first word. And Jesus convicts me of it so many times. I say, Tyler, go talk to that. No, Lord, no. It's like, that's your first word. We've got past this, Tyler. Let's move on to the next one. But it's my time, Lord. Right? Mine. Self-centered. You can get there, right? Like so many times in our life, we can get there. You don't have to teach a child to be self-centered. They say mine. And usually mine involves an older child they're pulling the thing they didn't own from, or a parent, right? Or from another child that's not theirs saying it's mine. So someone who is a spiritual child so many times, that's where they're struggling. They've taken the next step from a spiritual infant. They're starting to get involved in church, but what happens is they haven't formed these new life patterns after Christ where they grow in Christ. And so when I look at this, I see some key phrases that you hear from a spiritual child. So here's some key phrases. Here we go, really quickly. My church isn't feeding me, so I'm looking for somewhere else to go. So I just want to tell you something. If you're looking for me to feed you, I'm gonna fail you every time. I'm not here to feed you. Only Jesus can feed you. And the Holy Spirit will talk to you right now. And there are times when he calls you out of one local body to the next. Absolutely. But if you are looking to be fed only on Sunday, would you go all week without eating? Probably not, would you? I'm sure I probably could handle it. I'm sure some of us probably could handle it, right? But like, would you go all week without eating? Sunday's not supposed to be the main course where you only get it once a week. Sunday's supposed to be the overflow of what happened the other 6 days a week. You're so full when you come in on Sunday, you can't help but celebrate Jesus and celebrate who he is in your life and celebrate what he allowed you to be a part of, because you know this week is going to be the best yet because of all he's already done. His past faithfulness will always equal his future provision. And so for each and every one of us, if you're a spiritual child and you're looking to be fed, you need an adult to help you be fed still. They need a spiritual parent in their life. So many times, another key phrase is, my small group is about to grow, but I'm going to leave if they invite those people. That's a tough pill, isn't it? That's a tough one. Or maybe it's this, I can't believe God would allow such pain to occur in my life if Jesus is Lord of my life. The mark of a spiritual child, so many times when heartache comes, they start to regress back to that infant stage. And so for each and every one of us, if we want to help someone who is a spiritual child in our life, what we have to do is we've got to teach them and cultivate in them a servant's heart. If you teach a child young the ways in which he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it, right? They will not depart. So teach them a servant's heart. What happens is inside for a spiritual child as they start to have relationships with others, they're real guarded. They're real guarded about it. And that's okay. Sometimes we have to be guarded, but Jesus called us to live openly, right? And so what ends up happening is a spiritual adult will come alongside a spiritual child and challenge them with love and grace. And so my question, if we're in this stage, is this for us. Who's the person that you remember has the most integrity in your life? You probably encountered them if you're in Christ Jesus as a spiritual child. I would hope that they were part of the church. The sad part is many times today they aren't. And I wish they were. Because the people with the best character are always going to be the people that have Jesus in them, right? Especially if they're living it out. And so when I say that, when you're a spiritual child, that's so important in your life to have that person in your life. And so today, once again, maybe that person, that the Holy Spirit's talking to you. Shoot them a text. Write them a card. Let's celebrate them. So next, here's the big one. Here's the big leap. This is like going in a growth spurt, like, this is middle school, right? Like, this is getting to be middle school, maybe sophomore in high school. We'll say that we can be sophomores, like the growth spurt. Like, you know, when you get older, like I remember when I was in middle school, the shortest, and then all of a sudden high school came and like I could finally play basketball with people my age. Like, it was finally time I could do it because they were all taller than me, right? I was bigger, I was rounder, but I wasn't as tall. So like I could play basketball with them, right? Like all of a sudden there was these moments in time I could do that. So for each and every one of us to get to this next stage, that a spiritual young adult, what we have to do is we got to grow in accountability. Accountability. As your child grows, what do? You give them more rope. You give them more accountability, right? You help them. Now the thing is, if they disobey as a parent, you take some rope back. They lose some accountability. But as they obey and they see that they can handle more, then they get more, right? That's what happens with the Lord. As we steward well what he puts in our hands, he gives more. So to grow this way, you got to live a life of confession and repentance. The mark from a spiritual child to a spiritual young adult is realizing that the Christian life is marked with confession and repentance. You embrace accountability. You understand that somebody's talking to you in love when they're confronting you, and you can start to confront others in love, not in condemnation. But the main thing is when you go from spiritual infant to spiritual child to spiritual young adult, you finally start having a kingdom first mentality. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek his kingdom first. And so the next phase is spiritual young adult. Now this is what happens. This is a transformation that many of us go through. You're Christ-centered and you become others-focused. You're willing to serve as a spiritual young adult. Here are some key phrases for a spiritual young adult to see if this is where you are in your life and in your journey. I feel compelled to pray for my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. I would love to know my part of the body and the role that I can play in the church to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. What is that, and how can I do it? Man, I wonder what is going on at our small group, because this person didn't come this week. I'm going to reach out to them. See the difference? There's starting to be some accountability. There isn't, oh, well, they just didn't come. Is, I miss that person being here. They're a part of this. I wonder where they've been. Or maybe it's even this. I can't believe we get to do this, and Jesus lets me get to be a part of him growing his kingdom. They realize there's a role to play and a place to play, but what ends up happening so many times is they say things like this as well. Maybe I can make a difference by serving at the soup kitchen. Maybe I can make a difference by serving. Like, service becomes their mentality. They're kingdom-oriented and others-focused. They're kingdom-oriented and others-focused. So what ends up happening for this person is they most of the time need help with their spiritual gifts. We would love to help you with that today. If you need help with your spiritual gifts, we've walked through it. Email us at hello@thevine.tv. We'll get a spiritual gifts test to you. This isn't the things that you can hone in. This is your God-given gifts that he has used and he has put inside of you to grow the kingdom. Usually what ends up happening with a spiritual young adult versus a spiritual parent is this. There is a pattern of an unrepentant, repeating cycle of sin, and it makes them insecure. Because they think, if I'm struggling with this sin so much, how in the world could I lead anyone? And I will tell you, all of us struggle with sin. I love how Paul puts it. He said there was a thorn in his flesh and he prayed for God to remove it, and yet God didn't, and he still used him. So a person that is a spiritual young adult lacks the confidence to try to lead someone else, but they're right on the precipice. So if you're a spiritual young adult today, I would say, hey, confess the sins to your brother. Get it out. Let's have some healing in the house. Let's walk forward. Because what ends up happening, we're going to be leaving too many babies on the side of the road and too many children running wild and crazy, not knowing the great life, the full life that Jesus died to give them, if we just leave them sitting there. So what ends up happening with a spiritual young adult is the critical phrase is this. When something bad happens, they're not mad at God. And they don't blame everybody else. They have peace with God. And they understand that it's just a season. It's just a season. And so for each and every one of us, as we talk through this, maybe we've gone through spiritual infancy. Maybe we're gone through spiritual young child and spiritual young adult, and we're a spiritual parent. Well, let's talk about how to get to be a spiritual parent. Well, you've got to be confident in who God created you to be, and then you got to walk in it. So a spiritual parent is someone who is Christ-centered, but is very intentional. Very, very intentional. Some key phrases for someone who is a spiritual parent would be this. The most important task isn't what you do, but who you are becoming. I see that. We see that all the time in education, right? Like, that's so important, but yet we don't believe it. But look how much of an impact it has on children as they grow. Maybe someone who is a spiritual parent, they are intentional. They understand that, hey, I'm the best person to influence my children for Christ. It's not someone else's job to raise my child, even my spiritual infant child. I'm the one God has called, and he's placed them in my path, and I'm going to be intentional, and I'm going to seek them out. Something to think of is something like this. Someone who's a spiritual parent, a scenario could play out this way. Hey, there's this person at work that keeps asking me questions about the Bible, and I feel burdened to talk to them about it. Not, hey, this person is asking questions about the Bible. Can you tell me all the answers? No, they feel burdened to go invest in that person. And all of a sudden, that person starts to come to their greenhouse gathering. All of a sudden, that person starts to come to church and they meet Jesus. And all of a sudden, that person now one day is raising others up, and they're baptizing the person in their small group. And all of a sudden, a spiritual parent would say, that's what God meant so long ago when that person started asking me about the Bible. So my question is for us who can be spiritual parents. I believe all of us can be mature enough fully in the faith to be spiritual parents is this. Are we being intentional about grabbing others to come alongside us? Are we just waiting, hoping that they come in? We started in John 1. Jesus just said, follow me. Andrew and Peter didn't wait. Philip, Nathaniel didn't wait. They brought them in. 100%. Listen, this isn't an attendance thing. This is a life and death thing. So much so, I care more about you dying in eternal hell than the church you go to. Doesn't make a lick of difference to me. But we have to be intentional as spiritual parents. And when I look, what ends up happening is now we aren't just a disciple of Christ, but we're fulfilling the Great Commission by going and making disciples who are disciple makers. And in the end, that's what Jesus has called us to do as Christians, and that is why we are God's plan for growing his church. So how in the world do you do it? You live out love God, love others, and you ask God for opportunities to place people in your path that he is calling you to come alongside of. And I promise you, he'll show them to you. But so many times you might be like me and be like, no, not that person, Lord. not that one. Is there somebody else that can come alongside that person? Not that one, Lord. Anybody but that person. And that's going to be the person you're going to see God move like never before in. And I tell you what, he's going to grow you probably more than he's going to grow them. Actually, I promise you, he will. And so for each and every one of us, maybe you're trying to learn how to do this. The way that you're a parent many times is this, right? I don't have kids, so don't get mad at me, parents. If you want to throw something, it's totally fine. But I'm hard-headed, so I have to learn by doing. I can read a book, but I still have to do it. When I look at like a spiritual young adult or a spiritual child, they start to have knowledge of the Lord, but it's kind of like reading a physics book. If you don't understand vectors, if you don't understand how to derive tangent lines or that integration is area under the curve, if you can't work through vectors, you can read all about physics all day long, but it ain't gonna make a lick of sense to you. You're not gonna be able to put it into practice. You can read about it all day long, but you're not gonna be able to put it into practice. Those who are spiritual young adults and spiritual children can read about the Bible all day long. They struggle putting it into practice, so they need a spiritual parent to come alongside them and say, hey, this is how you do it. Hey, you wanna know how to serve others? This is how you serve. And so a real quick way to do that, as we're getting there, a real quick way to do that is maybe this. Okay, this is what helps me, because I'm hard-headed, I have to do it, remember. It's I do, you watch, I do, we do, I watch, you do, I leave. I know that sounds crazy, but if you're a parent, that's why if you know me of anything, I like to show you how to do something, because it's the only way I learn, so I'm sorry. So a lot of times I can't explain to you how to do something if I'm not doing it in the moment. I know. Just hang in there. If Jesus can work through me, he can work through anybody. So it's I do, you watch. I do, we do. You do, I watch. You do, I go. You do, I leave. However you want to say that. So for each and every one of us, for me, this is great for me because I'm a one-on-one person. I'm not a lunch table person. You have lunch with me, you know that. I'm not a lunch table person. I'm not a dinner person. I'm a crowd or a one-on-one. A lunch table, I sit there. It's not my gifting. I try to be a part of every conversation, and I stink, and I struggle with that, and Jesus is growing me with that, but I try to be a part of everything instead of one-on-one. So if you ever have lunch with me or talk with me at a table, you'll usually see I'm this way or this way, but not this way. But when it comes to like crowds, I can do that. But when it comes to one-on-one, so this is what intentional relational discipleship is, though. One on one, or two with one. And the reason that that's important for each and every one of us is we want to create systems here at the Vine where you can have intentional relational discipleship. Because the thing is, I'll be honest with you, selfishly, this is a spiritual child coming out, but it's real. There's so much potential in all of us. I would hate to get to heaven and Jesus come to me and say, hey, Tyler, you stewarded the Vine, but all you did was keep people as spiritual infants. That would break my heart. Because I see spiritual parents in this room. And I know that many of us maybe even might be in a spiritual young child, or we may be a spiritual young adult, but I see many of us who have grown in the faith enough that we can bring others in. I don't care if they go to church here. We've got opportunities for them to go to church here. I want them to grow in the Lord. Because the thing is, I want us to be people who send people to grow the church around the world, not people who hoard people to grow the church. That's what we're called to do. And so for each and every one of us, I would love for each and every one of us to be spiritual parents. As a matter of fact, Romans 10 says it this way, and it's a call for us to do that. Romans 10 verse 14 through 15 would remind us this when we are called to be God's plan for growing his church. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? I want you to know, if you're in Christ Jesus, he sent you. That's what Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is. He sent you. Don't worry about a degree. Don't worry about seminary. He sent you. You are in Christ Jesus. Go. It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Church, more than ever in this time, we get to bring the good news of the gospel. Everything we do. and how we love God, love others, can be the good news. And I know I'm a hard person to love because I'm me. And Jesus is growing me to be who he created me. And I'm willing to bet in this world there are some hard people to love. But the thing is, we are still called to go and love them and meet them right where they are, because that's what Jesus did for us. And so, church, let's be spiritual parents in everything we do. Maybe you're a spiritual infant right now and you got convicted by the Holy Spirit and said, this is my stage. I would love for you to have some accountability and know that the Holy Spirit's probably moving in someone right now. They're going to reach out to you. Embrace it. Maybe you're a spiritual child and there's a spiritual parent and the Holy Spirit's stirring in them to reach out to you, to come alongside you. Embrace it. Don't push back on it. Embrace it. Trust in faith that that's what God's called. Maybe you're a spiritual young adult and you're learning independence and you're trying to be all that God created you to be, but you don't have someone who's vesting into you, and there's a spiritual parent that's going to reach out to you. Embrace it. And maybe you're a spiritual parent right now and you're trying to figure out who you're supposed to reach out to. Pray for the opportunities for God to show them to you. He's probably already doing it. And so right now, many of us can see where we are on this journey, and I believe all of us have a next step in it. And maybe for the first time, we started there, and so I'm going to end there. For the first time right now, the Holy Spirit is moving, and you're realizing, I'm spiritually dead. Man, like in this time, I've done nothing but, there's nothing in my life that shows Jesus. Maybe you've been a Christian, or you said you've been a Christian for a long time, and you realize, man, there's just nothing in my life that shows Jesus to this world. The reason I can't be a spiritual parent is because I don't know who Jesus is. And I want to tell you right now, that's okay. There's hope. Because there's an opportunity right in front of you right now to take a next step. We talked about it earlier. I'm going to end with it. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it this way. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But pay attention to this. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. We're about to pray out loud as a family here together for the first time for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith, but I want to tell you, all of us are sinners in need of a Savior. None of us have it together. And right now, if the Holy Spirit is moving, you see that Jesus is your only hope. We're going to pray the prayer, but just like Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, it's not the words, it's the faith. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, would everyone please repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death, paying for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and for the first time, you can say you've received this free gift of salvation. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you're in the house, if you're online, would you raise your hand? You're going to see a hand that pops up. Hey, maybe you're listening throughout the week. We're so thankful you're hanging out with us. Reach out to us at 864-580-6698, or you can email us at prayer@thevine.tv. We would love to celebrate with you. And for everyone else, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue into worship. And I'm going to pray for whatever the Holy Spirit taught us in this time. Wherever we are on our spiritual journey, that we take our next step in it to be disciples that are disciple makers, that we are spiritual parents. So, dear Jesus, thank you again for this time. Thank you that you allow us to get to be here today. We don't deserve any of this, but Jesus, you allow us to get to do it because you are our only hope. There is nothing in this world that satisfies. There is nothing in this world that can fill us like you can. And it's only by your great mercy and love that we even get to be here. So today, more than anything, Jesus, I believe you are calling us to next steps. And I believe with faith, as we step into those opportunities, you will grow us like never before. So Lord, right now, as we get ready to step into this time of worship, I pray that we would just seek you like never before. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Y'all stand and sing with us.
Man's in-
thank you guys so much for being here today. Once again, it's one of those messages where you got to go back maybe and watch a little bit, but I believe that all of us have a next step. And I'm so thankful that the next steps that we've taken is. So for some of us, maybe there are some next steps that we could take. And on your seat there are some cards that say connect with me at thevine.tv. And I want to tell you, once again, it's not about one church, it's about the church. On the back is blank. And it says, my contact info is. Maybe you're struggling with talking to someone. Maybe you just need to leave him your card, that card, as a next step. Maybe that card as a next step has your cut. You can put the church contact info on there if you're afraid. I get it, but I believe that Jesus is going to walk through this with you, and you can trust him enough to know that he is going to work through this. And I'm telling you, sometimes you may be going to sell a house to someone, and you see them raise their hand during the service, and you realize it wasn't the house that you sold them here. It was the house he was building in eternity that was the reason he placed them in your life, because we've experienced that here at the Vine. And I can tell you personally, I've experienced that. Had I not stepped into that opportunity and picked up the phone, though, I would have never got to be a part of it. And so right now, I want to tell you, if the Holy Spirit's moving, trust him. Trust him. So if you want to take those, you can. Once again, there are some notes in the back. I want to encourage you, pick those up. We'd be happy to mail them for you. But for everyone else, as we're getting ready to wrap this up, I just want to say, there's nothing better than the Lord, is there? Like, come on, there is nothing. He is the one who takes the graves and turn them to garden. He makes the seas into highways. He turns bones into armies. He is the only hope we have in church. That's what we get to share with the world this week. That's what we get to be. That is the feat of the good news we get to be. As they turn on the news today and they hear about this person hating that person and this person trashing this person and how the economy is doomed and how a vaccine is doomed and how health is doomed and, oh my goodness, flu season's coming and holy cannoli, can you believe it? It's like 115 days to Christmas. Anyway, so whatever that is, wherever we are, as we see those things, listen, we get to bring the good news of the gospel. Don't let it stop here. Let it go out. Leave this place and love people right where they are with the love of Christ, because the only way we'll ever be unified is if we walk in his love. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to have an awesome week. Thank you guys for hanging in here with us. So let's pray and let's go be Jesus to everyone. Jesus, thank you once again that we get to be here today. Thank you that there's nothing better than you, Jesus, that this world can't satisfy. Thank you for taking the broken pieces of us and putting them back together as only you can, but loving us enough that you shine through the brokenness and your light breaks through so that this world that is walking in darkness can see you like never before. So Jesus, I pray as we go out today and we live out loving you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, that we would be the light and we would bring the good news. And that we wouldn't walk and just be a disciple alone with you, but Jesus, we would be a disciple maker, walking with other disciples, walking with those who don't know who you are, and asking them to come and see and experience you. Jesus, may we never hoard the hope that you've given us. May we share it with every person you place in our path. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe we get to do this. Thank you that you allow us to be here. And Jesus, thank you that you are writing a beautiful story right now. And every trouble we walk through is just a part of your good story for us, and that we trust you with that. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week. Make sure you join